Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I haven't been, got to preach from this pulpit since the 9 o'clock service. But before that, it was quite some time ago, and I count it a joy to get to stand here and speak to you today and bring you God's word. It's wonderful. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to begin with verse 3. Be reading from the New International Version. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm going to continue there in a minute, but I just want to stop there for a minute because this is how I feel about Spirit Life Church. I feel like this is just a group of people. Some of you I haven't known near as long, but there are some of you, y'all remember the day I came to this place. How many remember the kid that came here years and years and years ago? Yeah, I remember coming into this place, and there were just those strong people in the Lord that some of you to this day have continued to strengthen me and pour yourself into me. Just what has gone on in the past, gone on in today. There's some of them that they're just like, to me, mothers and fathers in the faith that have just been such a blessing. Nedra, I tell you, there's a girl right there. Come on. She is, God, right after I started coming here, God put me in a house right across the street from this woman. Talk about the joy of the Lord, and I'll tell you what, who even ministered to me and I got to talk to more was her husband, Terry. I'm telling you, we had some intense conversations about God's word. And I mean, it was good stuff. It was powerful stuff. Now, there was a man right there that he wouldn't get up here for nothing. This was not his place in God's world. But I'm telling you, he loved people. And he loved this community. And he came to children's ministry. He didn't want to teach, but he wanted to be a part. He wanted to help love those kids. And he wanted to do whatever it was he could do to minister in the kingdom of God, to God's people, to this community. And that just strengthened me so much. I was the children's pastor at the time, and here he was just coming along right before. And Nedra, I think she, they say behind every great man, there's a wonderful woman and a surprise mother-in-law. But Nedra was there with him, and I'm telling you what, she to this day, how many of y'all, just by show of hands, how many of y'all has had this woman speak into your life? Yes, that's what I'm saying. Thank you, Nedra. And there are others here that, as I think about this first scripture, I just thank God every time I think about you. Every time I think about Mr. Terry, I just thank God. Every time I think about Doc and Martha and Carrie, I thank God. Now, these are more people that they knew me from way back when. I'm telling you, I was about 25 when I came to this place. I'm not trying to tell you how old they are, but they was already here. You know, that it's just, it felt good having all these people around me, and I hope you feel that same joy from this body. I hope that you, yeah, amen. I hope that you feel that same joy, that same, hey, these people have my back. If I need prayer, I know all I got to do is come into this house and come down to these altars, and there are going to be people get up out of their chair and come lay their hands on me and pray for me, whatever it is. If it's financial, if it's physical, if it's emotional, whatever it is, I know that I've got prayer warriors ready to pray with me at a moment's notice because of my house, my family in this house. Well, that's how I feel about this place. Verse 6, being confident in this, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God has begun that work in us, ladies and gentlemen, and he is going to stick with us till the day he comes back or till the day he takes us from this place. He is not done with us yet. Understand that. Sister Nedra, still moving and a grooving, still blowing and a going. You know what I'm saying? You can't keep that woman down. She's moving. You just count on it. Amen. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that's who you're going to look like more and more, because you're going to keep on keeping on. And yes, highs and lows in our life do come, but we still keep pushing on and pressing on to the mark, to the high calling that Jesus has called us to. So he said right here, God is going to finish. He's going to bring to completion the work that he's already begun in you. He is not going to leave you alone. He's not going to let you go behind. He's not going to let you fall by the wayside. No. He is going to be right there with you, in front of you, leading you. And if he needs to be, he's going to be behind you, being in that rear guard. And he's going to help you to do what he has called you to do. God is not done with us yet. You say, well, what could God possibly want with me? Well, ask him. There's the thought. Let's just ask God and see what he wants us to do. It was just last week that we had the service about serving, finding the different ways, all the many different ways that you can serve in this church. It was a couple of years ago that we were having the same service, and there was a card that they gave us. And that card, it had just a list of the things. And the year before, I'd looked at that card and thought, oh, I do plenty, and I just set the card back down. Well, 2 years ago, I looked at that card, and I thought, well, let me just look and see what they put on there. If they're going to print it up, I'll at least look at it. So I looked at that card, and it said praise and worship, and men's ministry, women's ministry, and the ushers and greeters. And God directed my eyes to the upper left corner, and it said praise team. I'm like, praise team, really? And sometimes you feel like you got to remind God of stuff, like he's forgotten or something. And I'm like, I lead praise and worship in 9 o'clock service, Lord. It's easy for me to say yes to this one. And he said to me, but you don't do anything in the 11. Okay. And you know, I don't know if you've learned this or not, but if you have not, let me give you just a little heads up. I believe that Nedra would agree with me on this. When God tells you to do something, you really don't want to see what happens when you don't do it. When God says do something, you're better off doing it if it embarrasses you, if it makes you look like a fool. If God tells you to do it, you're better off looking like the fool and being embarrassed than to disobey. So knowing that, I stood right up and I walked up to JD. He was getting prepared. It was after our 9 o'clock. I walked up there and saw JD up here getting ready for this service. And I said, JD, do you need any singers in the 11 o'clock service? He said, no, I got all I need. And in that millisecond, I thought, ha, I did what he told me to do. JD didn't need me. I'm off the hook. And in the next breath, JD said, but do you play an instrument? I said, yeah, I play the bass and the drums. He said, hey, that's fantastic. He said, my bassist has been wanting to take one Sunday a month off, and I could sure use someone to play for him. I said, I'll do it. I didn't have to pray about it. I already knew, it wasn't one of these, well, should I do this, Lord? He's the one that sent me up there. It was him all the way. I said, yes. And since that time, I've just come to find such a great joy every time it's my turn to get to play the bass. Now, I was a little nervous at first because I haven't played in a while, and I'm not the best bassist. You can attest to that. But boy, I'm telling you what, it's a joy when I get to get up there and just help lead in worship, lead you to the throne of God. That is one of my greatest joys. It's fantastic. It's because I obeyed. So I have never done what God told me to do and afterwards thought, man, I wish I hadn't done that. Never. Anytime I obey God, no matter how much I stress about what I'm supposed to be doing, or I get anxious about it, or I dread doing what God told me to do, I always feel so much better after obeying. Oh, hallelujah. I've got to get some pages turned because I think I just went through a few of them there. So more recently, God talked to me. Remember Brother Greg was here, and he preached to us a few Sundays ago, and he invited us all for corporate prayer over in the prayer room on Wednesday nights. And as he was speaking, God spoke to me, and he said, I want you to go. And I said, well, okay, no problem. So I'd planned it all out, and Wednesday came, and I got home from work, and I was pretty tired. And I just decided, you know what, I'm so tired, I don't think I could pray much anyway. So I stayed home, and I just sat on my recliner, and I watched some television. A couple days later, God said, Harley, I'm too tired. Doesn't work for me. I said, okay, I get it. So next Wednesday, I come home from work, and I came home a little early because I knew I'm going to prayer whether I like it or not. And I was tired again. And I came to prayer, and I want you to know it was such a powerful move of the Holy Spirit during our prayer time. I left that place feeling better and more rejuvenated than if I'd have sat on my sofa for 3 or 4 hours. I had the power of God was just surging through me, and I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Guess what happens when we obey? I guarantee you you're going to feel better when you're done. Than if you hadn't. So now it's like, okay, this is what God's wanting me to do. This is what I want to do. Verse 9. We want to look at verse 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Not only love much, but love well. Learn to love appropriately. We need to use our head and test our feelings so that our love is sincere and intelligent, not sentimental gush. Sometimes we've got to love intentionally. The people that are the very hardest ones to love, they're the ones that need it the most. They're the ones that they need the love of God the most. How? Now, I just kind of felt like you either had love or you didn't. But here he's saying to grow more and more, that your love may abound more and more. How do you get love to abound? How do you grow in love? 1 Corinthians 13. You've probably heard it at many weddings because it is a beautiful chapter about love. And yes, it should happen between a husband and wife. They should love each other in that way. But that's not the only. It's not just about husband and wife. This is agape love spoken of in 1 Corinthians 13. And he says, love. This is that same love that he said when he said, love your enemies. Oh, don't get quiet on me now. It looks bad on you for the camera. Love your enemies. Same love, chapter 13. Love your enemies. Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy, does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not easily angered. And here's a tough one. It keeps no record of wrong. You know what? As I kept on reading, I found out I can grow in love because there's some places here I need help. There's some places here that I'm not, it's not just you either have love or don't. It's yes, I have love, but boy, I can sure grow in it too by hanging on to this. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. This is the love that he wants us to grow in. This is the love that he wants to get more and more and more of, because how can we pour out to others what we haven't filled into ourselves? If you take a jar or a glass of water and set it on this pulpit and you bump this pulpit, what's going to spill out of that glass?
Water.
Acid? Milk? Mm-mm. What's inside the glass is what's going to spill out of the glass. If you don't pour the love of God in you and keep attaining to get more and more and more and more of that love, and to get just let God fill you with his love, sometimes when we get bumped, somebody will say, oh, that kind of slipped. If it ain't in there, it don't come out. Only thing that slips out is what's in there. That's why when I've had my coworkers at work, they're like, man, I'd like hit the wrong nail. Have you ever done that? You know, you're doing that hammer and nail thing, hit the wrong nail, and I'm like, ow, that hurt. And they're like, wow. I think I would have said something else. Well, I try to keep those things out of this body and keep other things in this body, good things. The good things that he wants us to keep our minds on. That's what I try to keep in this body so that whenever things like that happen or someone does something to try and pour out the love. And I'm still working on it. I'm telling you, I'm wanting to do what Paul says here, that love may abound more and more and more in me each day. Verse 10, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Filled with the fruit of righteousness. Right here, Paul uses this metaphor of fruit. Jesus uses the metaphor of fruit. So how do we get filled with fruit of righteousness? Well, let's look at it for a minute. What you fruit you see is kind of determined by what tree you've got. If you've got an apple tree, you're probably going to get apples. You got a peach tree, more than likely what's going to grow off this is peaches. How do you get fruit of righteousness? Well, once again, if you're going to see fruit of righteousness, it's got to be inside you. You got to grow in righteousness. Now, let me just put your mind at ease. It's not your righteousness. You don't have to worry about it being your righteousness. As a matter of fact, I thought about bringing a bag with me with some dirty, nasty, oily rags. And I was going, oh, here, I found our righteousness, because that's all it is. Dirty, filthy, oily rags. That's not what you have to depend on, ladies and gentlemen. What we've got to depend on is the righteousness of God. Now, how do we get the righteousness of God inside of us? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. You got to seek it. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. How many of y'all ever played hide-and-go-seek? Oh, yeah. I loved hide-and-go-seek. It was a fun game. Everybody take turns being it, and everybody try and go find that one. And the only kids that never really won that game were the ones that really weren't interested in playing, and they just sat on the bench, and they never really looked. They never found them, did they? So in other words, you got to seek. You're not going to find this righteousness just sitting there, and God's just going to come dump it on you. He said, seek it. He's not hiding it from you. He just wants you to seek it. He wants you to look for it. He wants you to ask for it. He wants you to open yourself up so that you can receive the righteousness of God and put down the thing. Yeah, this is what I got that's good, and I know that everything that I got that's good is not good at all. He said, there is nobody righteous, not even one. That's why it's so good. We don't have to depend on ours. We're dependent on his, but he tells us to seek it. And if we seek, we're going to find. Oh, y'all got me there. All right. We seek, we're going to find. He said, you ask, it'll be given to you. You knock, I'm going to open that door. Because everyone that asks receives. Everyone that seeks finds. Everyone that knocks, that door is open. But you still had to knock. You still had to seek. You still had to ask. So we need to be asking God. We need to, and sometimes there's got some stuff inside of us that we got to get rid of so we make room for what he wants. Because righteousness doesn't really exist well in a nasty, nasty container. He said, you're not going to see fresh water and salt water coming out of the same well. It can't happen. It's either going to be one or the other. So sometimes I'm just like, Lord, cleanse me. Take out of my life anything that would be displeasing to you and fill me with your righteousness. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu. I know you were waiting for that one. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord God, our righteousness. He is our righteousness. He can fill us. He can help us get rid of all that stuff we don't. Now, here's the thing. When you ask him, Lord, help me get rid of these things that get in your way of filling me my life, he might just do it. So sometimes, you know, whenever you're trying to take something away from someone that has been hanging on to that for a while, depending on which one of my kids, whether it was a blanket, a cloth diaper, depending on which one kid it was, they had something they wanted to hang on to, and before we could take it away from them, you know, sometimes it was a little bit of a stress. Sometimes we want to hang on to the things that aren't necessarily that great for us. We got to release them. We got to let go and then let God. We've got to get rid of, basically we're pushing forward because guess what? The things that are behind us, they're what trying to grab a hold of us. What does it mean to repent? We went over this Wednesday night in our lesson. Repent, that means I'm going this direction, but I'm repenting. So now I'm going this direction. I make a 180 degree turn. Forgetting what is behind, I press on toward the high calling of Jesus Christ. That means I got to be pushing this way. Because if I'm not pushing this way, what is happening to me? Yeah. If I'm not pushing this way, the world is pulling me back. But I've got to continue. I've got to press on. I've got to open my heart up and let God fill me with his righteousness. Okay. Verse 12, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. I want you to know, Paul is writing to the Philippians from prison. Timothy probably wrote this letter for him because Paul was in chains. He was chained up, and I imagine it wasn't real easy just to put pen to paper and do a lot of writing when you're bound in stocks in the prison. But Timothy went to visit him and was writing this for him. And he says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me being thrown in prison has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. I'm here because of Jesus Christ our Lord. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. People were looking at that going, you know what? Paul's in there because of Christ. I'm going to do it. I'm in the name of Jesus, I'm going to get out there and spread the good news of Jesus. That's what God is desiring of us. He wants us to spread the news of Jesus. He told us in Matthew chapter 28. He said, go and share the good news. That's kind of the command here. And he said, these people, they're getting more confident about it and going doing what God told them to do. I'm saying this is what God has told us to do. Now, we need to get the energy. We need to spend our time in prayer. Get into some corporate prayer. Spend more time in prayer. God didn't send me to the prayer room because I hadn't been praying. He sent me to the prayer room because I needed that corporate prayer. I needed to be praying among brothers and sisters in Christ. I needed to get in there, and I needed to get a hold of him like I had done in times past. And God is calling us to that. He's calling us to get in touch with him and get strong in him and in the power of his might, because he wants us to go and share the good news of Jesus. Now, remember what happens. You don't have to, but I'm pretty sure God is really intent on us doing exactly as he said. I remember whenever my children were little, my son, I say, son, go clean up your room. And if he had told me, well, Dad, I really just don't feel led to do that, I don't think that would have flown with me, because I was like, son, you better feel led or you're going to feel leather. Because this is not your choice. This is what I'm telling you to do. Well, Dad, I just don't feel like it's my ministry. I want you to know my son never said this to me. He knew better. But I think sometimes I've heard these types of excuses from saints. Why they don't share with someone, I would just be too nervous. Well, you know, that's really not the point. Well, I'm too tired. That's not the point either. God said, here's my command. Take the good news of Jesus and share it with everybody you know. If it's comfortable? No, not if it's comfortable. I just need you to share it with them. Do you realize the angels in heaven that God created are not in charge of spreading the good news of Jesus? We are the last resort. We're plan A. There is no plan B. It's our responsibility to spread and share the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a command from him. And it's a command that you really, again, don't want to disappoint the Father. I don't want to disobey him. He doesn't like disobedience. And I don't want God to have to get my attention. I don't know if you've experienced God getting your attention, but man, that can hurt. It's my fault. I just keep doing my stupid thing. Until he's like, Harley, and I'm doing my stupid thing, not listening. Harley, I'm doing my stupid thing, not listening. And then he's got his, Harley! Oh, yeah, you were talking to me? Back to my kids. Kayla, she is just about this tall, in diapers. And she is sitting in the middle of the living room playing with something I didn't want her. I said, Kayla, leave that alone. And she just kind of smiled and kept playing. I said, one, Kayla, let it go. She just grinned. I said, two. I said, Kayla, I said, put it down. And she still didn't. I said, three. And then I started towards her, and she just ran toward me, giggling. And I swatted her on her diaper. Wasn't no big thing, but it caused her to cry and pour tears. And my son Spencer was over there on the couch with his hands behind his head, and he was like, Kayla's got to learn that when Dad gets to two, you got to be moving. I don't want God to get to three with me. I want to listen to what he says, and I want to do what he says. I want to obey his word. When he says go, I want to go. When he says, here's what I've got for you to do, that's what I want to do. So if God is speaking to you, amen. If God is speaking to you about doing something, rather than fighting that thing and hemming and hawing about that thing, just step out in faith and do that thing. Step out in faith and say, you know what, this might embarrass me. I can't believe I'm coming up to this person, but God said to do it. And I'm going to walk over and say, hi, how are you doing? And then you get to talking to that person. And before you know, that person is pouring out their heart to you. And you're like, oh, thank God I obeyed you. Thank God I listened to your voice, because this person was hurting and they needed someone to love them. God, let God use you. Be the vessel that he's looking for. Be that vessel where he can take you. Pour his spirit into you. Pour his love into you. Pour his righteousness into you. And pour it out upon the people of this world, upon the people of this community. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Verse 21. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. He's like, hey, if I live, okay. If I die, all right. I mean, he's dealing with life and death, and he even says, you know, I'm kind of torn between the two. I'm in chains in prison. I kind of think I might as well just go on to be with him, you know, because death doesn't have any sting for me. Grave doesn't have any victory over us. So I just soon go on, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body, so here I am. And then he says this in 27, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whether I live or die, if I live, I'm going to be fruitful. He knew if he was still breathing, he was going to be fruitful. That's your litmus test to see if God is done with you. If you're thinking, well, God's done with me, take the litmus test. Get the mirror, stick it up under your nose. If you fog it up, he's not done with you yet. Okay? As long as you got the fog, the Spirit of God is not done with you yet. He's ready to use you. He can use you in so many ways. And we think, well, if I'm not a singer. Do you think that singing is all that he does? Well, I'm not a preacher. Preaching's not all he does. There are people that you come in contact with every day that I will never see. The praise team will never see these people, but you see them. You're the one that God poured into. You're the one that came to church and opened your heart into God and let God pour you in, and now you're the one seeing them. I can't come alongside you and get in front of you and go talk to that person that needs it. He's got you there for that purpose. He chose you and you and you. He chose each of us to do his good pleasure. We were created by him and for him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Stand with you if you would. Oh, Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you continue to speak to us. You continue to pour yourself into us. As we open our lives unto you, Lord, you pour your righteousness in as we seek you. You pour your love into us, Father God, and we strive to love more and more and more. Father, I ask you, Lord, to just anoint us. Give us the strength. Give us the strength to obey your word. Oh, hallelujah. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. When the Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us your Holy Spirit that we may be your witnesses. With the power of the Holy Spirit, we will tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ by your Spirit. It's not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. Oh, we will share, we will spread the good news of Jesus to those we come into contact with in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's give God praise. Let's give him praise. Yes, Lord. We say yes to you. Yes to your will. Yes to your ways. Yes to you in everything that we do. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Praise the Lord. Judy, I don't think we finish the same way here as we do in first service, do we? Do we do that? Yes, prayer team, come. I didn't want to ask people to come if I wasn't supposed to. I know how the 9 o'clock dismisses. Prayer team, come. Yes. Now, these are people that love you, and they come down here and are tickled to death if you need for them to pray, because they're prayed up and they're ready. And if you have a need, if you have a physical need, a spiritual need, an emotional need, a financial need, they want to pray with you about it. So don't hold back on principle. Don't, oh, well, I don't want everybody seeing me go. Don't worry about that. We all need help. When I need help, I come right down to this front and I stand before one of the elders and I ask them to pray for me, and I'm blessed by it. And it means something to me. And I see prayers answered by the elders of this church. So at this time, come down, and if you need prayer, if you need to line up, line up. And just spend some time. Maybe you just want to come down here and kneel at that front. We used to call it an altar. We don't have an altar in here anymore. But if you want to kneel at that front pew there and lift up the Lord and just spend some time with Him, do that. Bennett asked to announce that Nellie Redmond's funeral will be Wednesday at 2 p.m. right here in this sanctuary. Is that correct? All right. We continue to pray for the Redmond family. Continue to pray for the McLaurin family and Pastor Carroll's family, that God would just move on the scene for them. Let's just say another word of prayer about that right now. Father God, we lift up these two families to you, have experienced this loss, and we know, Lord, that you are the comforter. Holy Spirit, you comfort us. Father, you wrap your arms around about us to let us know that you are in control. Even whenever these horrible things happen in our life, these horrible losses, you are the God of peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding. Let it be in our hearts. Let it be in their hearts and in their minds. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Shake your brother and sister's hand as you go today, just as you're dismissed. Go rejoicing in Him and look for opportunity to share the good news. In Jesus' name. Amen.